Okay, good afternoon. I said good morning yesterday, I think. Everybody awake? Everybody going to be awake? Ray's awake anyway, huh? Okay, good deal. All right, what the purpose of this session is to put legs on what we've talked about. This is to give you a strategy. This is so you can walk out of here and say, I have an idea how to make this work. Because if all we do is give you a bunch of information that you don't act upon, then we haven't done what we wanted to do. What we want you to be able to do is to make you capable of preventing high-risk behaviors in kids. I'm not going to give you the only strategy. I'm going to give you a strategy. And everything that I'm going to mention in here is based in evidence. We have research to support every piece of what I'm going to give you. Now, typically, when faith-based... I have 20 minutes? 23 minutes. Okay, I've used up two. Typically, what churches rely upon in order to get their message out is they rely upon preaching. That's a church strategy. So, for example, in North America today, 50 to 70% of all the kids leave the church. So the North American division is coming up with a strategy of preaching that they think will meet the kids' needs. Because that's what churches do. It will fail, but they will do it.
I'm going to run a real short parallel here along this. And it's not through churches, but it's through experience and what works. Anyway, as far as community-based, in the U.S. on drugs, the major thing is a program called DARE, which is the police going into schools and giving them horror stories on drugs and alcohol. And then the kids try it and discover, oh my, that was so fun. I have never seen anything like that. The credibility is destroyed. But that's information only.
Yeah, it's information. And it doesn't work. So don't think that you're going to go home and make a wonderful PowerPoint and go down to give it to your local kids. And once they have all this information in their head, their lives are going to be changed. Because that's not how you prevent stuff. If we could prevent stuff by making PowerPoints and DVDs, we could solve obesity today in a week. We could just create a DVD, we'd send it out to everybody, they'd watch it, and they'd all get skinny. Behaviors are much more difficult than that. We're going to give you a strategy today that we know is effective from the evidence. There's very little evidence in the research literature that information strategies in the prevention of high-risk behaviors of kids are effective. Very, very little. But don't forget, if faith groups, they want to always go to information first. Nothing wrong with information first, but once you've gotten past information, you've achieved about 2% of what you want to do. Now you've got to figure out the other 90%, 98% of what you're going to do.
A couple of questions. How many of you know that exercising 3 to 4 times a week for 20 minutes or more will make you physically healthier, spiritual, you're emotionally healthier, everything from your body shape to your sexual life is better? Some of you do, some of you... Oh, everybody does. Okay. How many do it? Yeah, I'm sometimes, but... I'm even wished to. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually find about 15% of people raise their hand when they're asked that question in the group. Even students who are getting master's degrees in public health at Loma Linda don't eat right and exercise right. Okay, mentoring is a developmental partnership. We went through this yesterday, through which one person shares knowledge, skills, and information and perspective to foster the personal and professional growth. So mentoring is a good thing. So now let's put legs on this. Let's say you're going to start a mentoring program in your community, based out of your church. I hope that that's how you would start it. Okay, mentoring is a positive relationship with a caring adult. There's literature on parent mentoring or on youth mentoring. The key to effective mentoring is a high-quality, sincere relationship. And listen to this. This is a study that actually Duane has. He has it over here. We actually, through their handouts at the end, we've actually done research on what makes communication effective. And what makes communication effective is great relationships. So if we got a great relationship, then what I say to you has more likelihood of sticking and meaning than if we don't have a great relationship. So what you first want to do with the kids is you want to start creating that great relationship right off the bat. Anyway, an effective church-driven, community-based mentoring program should start with the church itself. So here are the pieces to it, okay? Hold an event. Go buy pizza. Get some whatever
and
you...
Or ice cream.
Low fat. Get what you want to get. Have a meeting of adults who want to engage with kids. And kids. Put them in a room. Have a good time. Okay, now watch what happens. Some of the kids will migrate towards some of the adults. Some of the adults will migrate towards some of the kids. Millie, you've seen this happen in your lifetime. It's a very natural thing that will happen. Sometimes you'll have to say to an adult, that kid's by himself. You see a kind of head over there and put your hand on his shoulder and talk to him a little bit.
This is part of the Darwinian effect. It's natural selection.
Okay, so this is for adults and youth, but watch what happens. Kids are going to drift around. Adults are going to drift around. But the adults need to know that they're there to create a meaningful relationship. Okay? After you've held that, do it again. Have another one. Same people, bring more people in. Another opportunity to bond and form relationship. Got the idea? It's simple, isn't it? Very, very simple. The whole thing I'm going to give you is going to be very, very simple. At the second event, now you get the adults starting to say to the kids, look, let's get together. I know there's a lady in town, and her yard needs a little bit of work. Let's drop by on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and it'll take us about 20 minutes. And we'll do what she needs, and that's it. That's called service. You've created a strategy where kids will get engaged with service with an adult who has values, which is the key piece of prevention. It's absolutely the central piece of prevention. Do meaningful things. If you don't know how to do meaningful things, ask somebody who does. But you do know how to do meaningful things.
Or you could have a single dad that works and needs laundry and such done. You know, you could do it more than one time. And lo and behold, the kids discover, hey, I'm doing something good. They see appreciation. I'm needed. This is fun.
That's right. And then the kids develop what's called a sense of purpose. And one of the things we know about kids today across the world is that they don't have a sense of purpose. They're not sure why they're here. And if you look in so many countries, and even across Europe today, teen suicide rates are on the increase. You don't have those risk of suicide problems nearly to the extent that you... Amongst kids, we have a sense of purpose compared to those who don't. You know, I have value. I'm worth something. I help people. And then once you start doing this, and the kids start to create experiences in their mind and history, pretty soon, you know, you're going to go out and do this one time, and after you've done it 30 times, they could write a book. About 30 experiences, and they can teach us how to do this stuff. Maybe after about 2 experiences, they can teach us how to do this. Now, here's the trick. Don't send the kids out to serve. Go with them. Because there's 3 pieces to serve. 3 pieces, okay? You meet with them and say, what are we going to do? You go with them and do it. The third piece is you sit down and you say, what did we just do? That's called reflection. That's the most important piece.
Yes, in fact, actually what we do is we do it, we take them, and they follow, and they mimic.
Okay, so we're not going to send the kids out to serve, we're going to go with them. 3 steps, and I just went through this. Talk to them. I think, are you guys going to get these PowerPoints? In 8 weeks? I may have been taking a nap. Okay, so while you're conducting the service activity with the youth, focus on creating a relationship, because this is all about establishing long-term relationships, because that's what puts the kid at less risk. This is mentoring in action. This is the real thing. Let me review. We're going to hold an event. We're going to bring food. And we're just going to say, have a good time. We're going to get people to get to have adults get to know the kids. Kids get to know the adults. And through those relationships, good things are going to happen. Okay, so once you get out and you're doing the service, and there's an adult with value who's involved, two things are going on. You're being serviced to people who have needs. That's one thing. And you're creating a mentoring relationship with the youth who's serving with you. That's another thing. So two things are happening. These people are getting their lawn cut. These people are getting their snow shoveled. These people are getting their wood chopped. Whatever. And plus, there's a great relationship that's happening here.
Well, this is as good a place as any, I think. There's something else we can do in our church. There's 12-step programs. And almost every church out there has AA programs out there. They host them. They're non-smoking. They don't smoke in the church. It helps them. And we know scientifically that about 20% of us, even in our church, are alcoholic. Pre-income to it. And a lot of us have experienced drug addiction and nicotine addiction, and kids experiment. And we have those in our church. We need to support them. And I think we should also, we also have our own program that's starting up. This is a man. Say something.
Look, I'm starting up. It's going.
Recovering addict alcoholic. Thank you. Yeah, so one of the benefits of this is that everybody that gets into it and stays in it comes to believe in God and has a serious relationship in faith. And one of the main parts of the program, well, actually it's a spiritual task, but one of the main parts of the program is service. And we teach people how to serve, and then they want to serve. And it can go into the community.
We found that Andrews, the kids who got engaged in service, were more likely to quit drinking. They're the ones who quit drinking. It really goes along. Service is really one of the core pieces to health and prevention.
And how many people were drinking?
Where?
When did the college
start? Oh, it is. About
Loma Linda.
We didn't do it long.
The alcoholics in our church still drink because we don't have the program.
I'm getting off track. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I'm way off track here. But anyway, you had your hand up. I'm going to get back on track after your hand, okay? All right, cool. It is. And we haven't heard enough of it. This has hardly been talked about in the literature. As a matter of fact, in terms of the discussion, right now in prevention, using service, we're right at the beginning of this thing. And Duane serves on National Institute of Health Committees and is just starting to gather steam. This is the best stuff we have to offer, actually. Yeah. Of course. Pathfinders should be a service organization.
And it should be really God wants us to be good.
Okay. So now, let me get back to the prevention strategy. Okay, so you're going to have a couple of these meetings. You're going to serve ice cream, pizza, whatever you make in your culture. In Seychelles, it probably will be a fish dinner, huh? Yeah, something like that. So that's what you do. And if you're like, I don't know, he'll know what to do. He'll have something else for you. And okay, so you're going to hook the adults up with the kids. Eventually, the adults are going to say to the kids, hey, want to join me? We're going to go over and help somebody. You go over to help them, okay? And you go out and do it again the next week. And you go out and do it a couple times the next week, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. We're not talking about four-hour activities. We're talking about brief activities. You can do a four-hour activity every now and then, but don't do them every week. The kids won't come back. They won't. You'll lose them, okay? You're trying to keep them, so it's brief, and change your activities often. You don't want to pick up garbage by the road more than once. Kids can actually have fun with that once. This is not, if you're doing this every Sunday, they're not joining you. First week, that was kind of cool. Want to do it next week? Not much. Okay, so change activities often. Now you're going to get a reputation in your community as having something that's pretty cool where kids go help people. Now it's time to, now you know what you're doing, it's time to start inviting other kids in the community to join your group. You get it? Now you're going to take the Pathfinders to town without their uniforms on, but with clothes on. Okay? And they're going to do it. This isn't an issue of calling attention to your church. This is an issue of creating character in the kids. All right? They're going to want to know who you are sometime, but that's not the first thing that you're going to go out to say. Seventh-day Adventist in action, please. Let's not start with that. Just go do it. They're going to want to know who you are after a while.
And every once in a while, when they're really enjoying themselves at things, do various activities publicly, where you'll be noticed and anonymous in the press, or other people, or both, are going to come up and ask. And then people are going to get involved.
That's exactly right. Okay. Now look, you can use the Bible explicitly and say, feed the hungry, then go feed them. That's what it says. Visit people in jail. People who are in jail, by the way, who have visitors, go back to jail less often than people who don't have visitors. Okay, you can go do that. Kids can kind of get a kick out of that, too. You get to talk to the guys in jail if you can get them in. My wife and I started a thing where we told the local high school in the wintertime, if the kid doesn't have a coat, call us. We'll get him a coat. So they call us. We buy them a coat. And I have other friends who will buy coats, too. We don't have to buy them all. And we started this thing. We call it Coats for Kids, and we get coats for kids. In the Seychelles, you probably don't need coats for kids. No snow over there, huh? No. But there's other things a kid needs, like swimming suits for kids or something like that. I don't know. We bought a kid a pair of boots this winter because he was working at his grandmother's ranch, and he had tennis shoes, and he'd walk around in the horse poop and ended up going back to school, and that didn't work, so we got him a pair of boots. Visit the sick. People who have visitors are in the hospital, get out of the hospital sooner than when they don't have visitors. Remember what Dr. Williams said? Loneliness is a stronger predictor of early death than smoking. There shouldn't be lonely people. Just go out and talk to people in your community. Go talk to the homeless. Get to meet gloves for kids, boots for kids. What would you do in Seychelles? What do kids need in Seychelles that you could get for them?
Christ also talked about freeing those in bondage. There's a lot of countries where there is bondage, a lot of times underground, but there's a lot of it. And making awareness of it in the church, helping the kids to be aware of it, they'll be shocked. That's important.
Okay, one of the things that Jonathan Duffy, who's not here, he's doing another meeting probably right now. He and I had done focus groups in Australia. We asked kids, would you like to be a part of a service organization, go out and help people? They say, yeah. And then we say, how come you're not doing it? They say, because no one ever offered it to us. So the kids want to do it. Adults aren't saying, let's do it. A friend of mine is a pastor of a church in California. And they have homeless people living in town. So they decided to plant a garden to feed the homeless. And some of the people complained. They said, but they'll steal the food. Well, that's the point. They're supposed to come steal the food. You know, so the people in Auburn, in town, found out that this church was growing a garden for the homeless. So the energy company came down and they said, well, we can help with the garden. We've got a bunch of stuff for a garden. We went to Home Depot, which sells home stuff, and said, well, we'll help you with a fence. And a guy with a tractor showed up and said, well, I'll bring my tractor down. And a lady from high school came down and said, can I bring my kids to help you? And all of a sudden, doing this useful community thing, this church got a huge amount of attention.
This is unlost opportunities, and here we go, X equals one again. But I moved to Indiana about 4.5 years ago, and started going to big church, and got to be good friends with the pastor, and went to the conference office, and from the president, and down to the pastor, and down to other people, I volunteered to do things, and to start things, even at the church school, where they only had one toilet working for the entire church school. And it's the biggest one in Indiana. I said, I'll fix it. Nobody has ever asked me to do a thing.
All right, but anyway, okay, so let's review. Develop relationships, plan to serve, identify those in need of service, go serve, reflect on service, nurture those relationships with the youth, invite other youth to join. That's it. That's not the only strategy you can use, that's a strategy. Do you get the idea? It's simple, isn't it? You know what? It should be simple. Nothing about this should be difficult. All of this is based in evidence. All of us is supported by the Bible. Every bit of it.